Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Gil. We're back on Himalaya.
Yes, sir.
That's right, Himalaya. When you want to listen to the No Chill podcast a day early, you get it on Himalaya. Download the Himalaya app and follow for exclusive first access. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love and some future favorites. If you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya has got your back. Discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcaster some love with Himalaya's tip jar. It's free. It's the easiest to use, and they're adding cool new features every single day. Go to the App Store, download Himalaya, H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A, and don't forget to subscribe to the No Chill Podcast. Of course.
Himalaya for all the players.
That's our new label. On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we're joined by the two-time champion, nighttime All-Star and MVP, Kevin Durant. Kevin and Gil go way back to Agent Zero's days in D.C. when Kevin was a young up-and-coming hooper that seat Pleasant in the DMV. It's Kevin in a different way than you're used to hearing him. We covered a lot of ground from how he slows the game down and when he put it all together to be effective at the highest level. He also takes a minute to acknowledge where he's at in this window of the prime of his career and how he's playing with true happiness. We also find out what it's like to get every team's best shot and also to keep your focus when you're blowing them out. And what we've always wanted to know, how they decide in the huddle who gets the last shot. For Kevin and the Warriors, there is a different level of sacrifice that comes with the territory, which is maybe what we should appreciate most about their dominance. For Kevin and Gil, what they have in common is the priority of basketball over everything. With that in mind, how they approach choices players make not only in their careers, but also in their lives. Make no mistake about it, the money and the status is major, but the championship is the ultimate dream. It's a loaded episode of the No Chill Podcast. Remember, we're out early exclusively on the Himalaya app. Download and subscribe on any device, and be sure to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. Gil, we got Kevin here.
The sniper. What's the nickname? There's so many. Which one? Was it Tarantula?
Durant.
Sniper, Durantula.
Easy money.
Which one? Easy money.
Call me what you want, man.
Easy money is nice. I ain't gonna lie. Easy money.
Call me. But you sometimes you can make up your own nickname.
I didn't make up mine.
Ages. I'm not saying you, but
DC
guys can.
Gave me mine.
Yeah. You didn't make up ages.
Nah.
I thought you did.
It was a MySpace thing. Oh, you know, MySpace was out, yeah, and I had all these ladies on it. You know, you had the top eight, and I called myself the Black President. And then someone was like, "Yo, you're like an Agent Zero." Like,
that was crazy. That went crazy in DC.
Yeah.
But Hibachi was a mindset more.
Yeah, that was something I was doing.
I'm surprised more people don't talk about that when it comes to like certain ways to think as an athlete, because you was doing some next level shit. As I was coming up and I was hearing the stories, I was like. Only person I heard that was doing that type of stuff was Kobe. Like, at 2 in the morning, after the club, you're going to shoot. I'm like, I was hearing stuff like that. I didn't know it was true, but as a young baller coming up in D.C., mm-hmm. We idolized you, you know what I'm saying? We hear that stuff, and I'm like, yo, I got to do something else. I got to figure out.
Did you do it like that?
No, but I'm like, I got to tap into what that is for me, you know what I'm saying, from hearing those stories. It's different for everybody, but doing shit like that, I was like, that's crazy. But I'm surprised people don't talk about it.
You know, because nobody understands. Everybody hears greatness. No one understands how to get to it. So, you know, just like you see now, I see players doing things I didn't do. You know, like staying after the game, getting a full workout in. You know, we're not going in lifting ice, but, you know, not back on the court.
Yeah.
Like, unless I done had a shitty-ass game, and, you know, like, but, you know, to see the players taking it to a new level of we're working out after the game, we're putting extra time in, it's like, that's what it takes. Like, you know, I grew up on, you know, Jordan and hearing his stories and then watching Kobe Yeah. You know, I come to the gym at 3, we got a game at 7, he's already in the gym taking 500 shots. And I'm like, that's how you get better. In the summer, we're all working, we're all got the same trainer, we're all taking the same amount of shots, but that's during the season is...
Yeah, that's the one.
That's how
you separate yourself.
But also when you get something in your mind, like, I want to get better at this, or this situation in the game happened, and like that just burns you. So you're like, I gotta get in the gym and I gotta work.
I think as you get older, like those moments, you realize what they are. You know they can come around at any time, especially when you get to shoot as much as we could. Like a missed shot at the end of the game, like, yo, I know that's coming back around because that's just my role on the team. So it's like, I try not to dive into those moments too much and, you know, harp on just that moment instead of just going through the whole game and seeing how I could have been perfect. And then that next day I work on how to be perfect, you know what I mean? How to make every shot, every move that I want to do, I try to work on it and see how I can knock it down next time just by watching film and going through the game again. So as I got older, I started to look at the game that way, and it's definitely helped.
At what point did that happen for you?
Year 3. Year 4, I got hurt year 3. Year 4, when I really took it to a next level.
You just got to, where were you at in year 4?
I was in D.C. You know, I got hurt my third year in D.C., and then I missed most of that season.
You only did 2 in Golden State?
Huh? 2 in Golden State, yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, what, do you remember the play? Do you remember the play that changed your confidence? Because I know you came in the league averaging 20, which is unheard of for a rookie. So you was already destined to be what you are. But do you remember the play, like a certain play that turned like oh shit, this shit too easy for me?
I wouldn't say just a play. It was just like a stretch in the season. I want to say 2012. And as a scorer, you learn different levels of the game. So I was learning how to score and be effective in a pick and roll, but I was just looking to score every time. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in the pick and roll, you just gotta play the game at that point. You can't just go straight score mode all the time or straight pass mode. So like I'm in between learning how to play and be me in a pick and roll. And that year, it's a lockout year, it was a short season, 2012. I was like real smooth in the pick and roll. I was seeing passes before they would open up, and I was just waiting on guys to help, and I was kicking to the corners. I was like, I was seeing stuff so slow, and then I would pull up on the dime, I would get to the cup. I'm like, oh shit, I feel like I'm at Berry Farms out here.
Yeah.
And it was early in the season, I think we like played Minnesota, and I spent off somebody in a pick and roll and did a crazy layup I've never done in the game. And I was like, oh shit, I'm really in it right now. I feel like I'm in the prime of who I am, and I just got to keep going. I got to experience more for me to get better.
Yeah, I always, you know, ask people like, yo, do you remember? Because I remember mine. It was, I hit the game winner against the Bulls, right? And then I remember Kobe tweeting something, writing something, basically said, oh, you know, he's here now. Let's see if he can build. So after that playoff, we got swept by Bulls. You know, they by the Heat.
Series.
They you know, the Heat came through, smacked the shit out of us.
That was ugly.
You know. you got Wade, Lonzo, you know, Gary Payton, you got the
They were vets.
You know, Shaq them. So I went into the summer and
I was on
kill mode. Like I'm training, like, yo, I know what that feels like now. Like I've hit game winners before, but a game winner in the playoff.
Oh, that's
you know, after they
level.
Came back by 20, it's like, yo. And then from there, I was like, oh, I can't be stopped.
Yeah.
You know, so my mental went into the game knowing I can't be stopped. You know, just takes you onto a new level. And I was just trying to figure out, like, yo, what year? Because
Yeah, it was probably like
you've been killing, but you know, there's killing, and then there's like, yeah, that shit too easy for me. Y'all motherfuckers can't go out.
Everything slows down. Yeah, it's like Matrix level slows down.
You go back to being a kid again, you know what I'm saying? When you've always been the best player on the court, and it's just like, it's just on the highest level now.
Like, do you think the game is easier for you now, averaging 25, or when you was averaging 30, 32?
Is it easier?
Yeah.
It's easier now on when it comes to like every time down, I'm not just thinking about how we can score in this possession or how I can create something that's possession. I might be the guy that's screening. I might be the guy that's cutting and creating something in a different way. So you just think the game a little bit more, you know, instead of just pressing the go button when you got to average 30 and be accountable. You got to make sure your team's accounted for, you know, a certain amount of points every game to be just in the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, majority of that gonna come from you, but when you're playing on a team and you got a lot of talent, it's like any given possession, just a cut or a screen can get you a basket. And, you know, it just makes you think about different things. It just makes you more rounded as a player.
See, I don't think motherfuckers really know how talented the group is. Like, I don't really think people understand how talented and what you guys got to sacrifice to do what you're doing. Like you got Hall of Fame. Clay is going to get in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Draymond keeps on. You got four Hall of Fame. Shit, Boogies.
Yeah,
you got five Hall of Fame players on one team in their zone. Yeah. This ain't like, you know, like old motherfucker coming in trying to, you know, nah, you got five motherfucker prime players playing that you guys got to sacrifice. It's like, it's like coming down and it's like, dang, any one of these motherfuckers give you 60 tonight.
Yeah,
and
I don't,
and, like, I've never had that kind of time. I mean, I when I'm playing NBA Live and I'm, you know, NBA 2K and I put the shit together, but you to see this shit unfold, I don't think anybody really understands what they're watching right now. It's they see is, oh, you know, motherfucker average 25, 26, you know, they ain't MVP. Nobody talking
don't
about
appreciate
the
MVP. You get spoiled in a sense.
You really get lost. It's like, because it's so easy, the wins are coming so easy that it's like, they're not as good as they used to be. Like, y'all motherfuckers don't understand, man. You got fucking five damn near Bugattis out there trying to figure out, you know, how to rev their engine while they're all on the court. And this,
I just think we got a really good system that works for everybody, and utilizes everybody's strengths. You know, Draymond's not going to be the guy that's going to get 30, but he's going to create 14 or 15 open shots for all of us by, you know, pushing off a rebound, pushing the transition, just directing us out there on the offensive side. Then you got Steph and Clay, who, you know, we set screens for at the 3-point line and utilize their jump shots, and they break people down off the dribble. We got guys screening for them constantly, and it's like, I just think our offense just makes everybody better. And I think Coach Kerr is so good at making sure, you know, he puts everybody in position to be successful. You know what I'm saying? That's tough to do as a coach when you got so many great players. And I think we got – and think also a lot of guys who really don't care about, you know, the accolades or none of that extra stuff. We just want to hoop and play good basketball every night and go home. I mean, it's pretty simple.
And I think that's the hardest thing, because you can really get ahead of yourself. Like Clay going 10 for 10 from three last night. Right,
yeah, that's crazy.
And like, you could showboat and, you know, like just be on cruise control, but you guys aren't. You're locked, and it's hard to do that every night.
Yeah, I mean, when Clay makes six threes in a row, it's tough. When, you know, teams wrap up the defense, and it's tough to get them open. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we working to get them open. You know, we pushing the ball, we dribbling at him, we setting screens for him at the 3-point line. We drawing and kicking. We trying to get him. You know, we trying to keep him on his pace that he's on. So. And that's tough to do. You know, you got to shift your focus to something else. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, we just had those periods where we can shift to playing one of those games or making it a tough, mucked up game. We play straight defense or a fast paced game. And I think, you know, we just got smart players, and that's not talked about enough. If you're talking about us, if you want to say anything about us, just mention that as well, that we got a lot of guys who have high IQs for the game. And that's rare to have on one team.
Yeah, shit, high IQs and like, It's so hard, and especially, you know, the era I grew up in. It's designed for, okay, I'm going to be on a bad team to be a star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm going to be a star. So to see young, and then the reason young teams break up is because they all want to be alphas.
Yeah.
You know, so to see that you got, you know, four guys, basically 30 and under, that's sitting there sacrificing is, that's what I said, I don't think people pay attention to that. You know, it's like, yo, like you can see how Kyrie and, you know, LeBron, you know, Kyrie wanted his own, like, I need my own. Mm-hmm. And then he leaves, but it's like, you guys are sitting here right here, like year after year, it's like,
I just think it comes down to experiences and what you want to experience in the league. You know, I think for most of us, especially, you know, for me coming over here and just wanting to play a different way, meaning like sacrificing and what you're talking about. It's just like when you experience so much, it's just like, all right, now what's next when in terms of how I want to play this game? Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of guys throughout their careers try to figure that out. And whether it's staying with a group or wanting to leave for a different opportunity, I think it's healthy when guys think about the game and think about their games that way, because you're so used to like being put in the box as an athlete on what you should do. And you always think about yourself like second, you know? And so I see a lot of guys now just trying to take control of their careers and put themselves there, where they want to play basketball first and where they want to live, all that stuff that comes with being an NBA player. So when you talk about like Kyrie and Boogie and those situations, mm-hmm. it's just like, just seeing those dudes and knowing them, you know how much they value basketball and what type of ball they want to play. And I think more players are starting to look at it that way.
Was that a hard decision?
Hell yeah, man.
And what?
Yeah, I mean, because when you're in this life, it's like all that other stuff comes with it. You know, basketball is kind of like 1B to a lot of different mm-hmm. things as far as, you know, just the lifestyle. You know, so when you put the game first, I see a lot of guys doing it. I mean, you put the game first, it just, you reap the benefits, whether it's when you want to get paid, you want to live in a good city, you want fame. Like, if you really just keep it at basketball, all that stuff come with it.
Yeah, I remember watching LeBron in The Decision. And I can tell how nervous mm-hmm. he was. Like, you know, you're talking about, you know, LeBron, you know, how he plays the game. You know, there's no nerve. And I'm watching him do the interview, and you can just see how hard that decision was. Yeah, right. Even if he rehearsed how, you know, this is what I'm, so the fact that, like, I heard him, he's like, I'm going to Miami, I'm taking my talents to Miami. He had to say it twice just to confirm it to himself. And yeah. It's like I've never had that decision. Like, I mean, when I left, to go to Washington, I'm out, I ain't no.
But also, no player put himself out there like that on national TV in a formal sit-down interview like that.
That is true, but so many other people made that moment so serious. So, I mean, obviously, when everybody want to know what you want to do, it's just like, damn, how do I present this to you?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, even when you left Washington, I mean, Golden State, like, when you were in Washington, there was a certain routine that you had when you was in Golden State that you probably thought about on a daily basis.
You know what I'm saying?
So imagine being in a place for 8 years. And then you like, fuck, should I leave this shit? Like, I know exactly, I built so much up in me as a person from my routine to the people I know to even from equipment managers to ball boys. All those people all the way on up, like, damn, I done built a lot up in this league so far, even in two to three years. You know, I'm like, shit.
It's hard to leave that
comfort
zone.
It's hard just there to leave that comfort zone. So when you step outside of that, it's just like, man, you really step into the world for the first time, because it's like, I got a new route to practice. I'm dealing with new people. I'm dealing with a new city, like mm-hmm. new way to the gym. I might change my shooting time from what I did a couple years ago. So it's just like, man, you're just excited for that new feel of playing ball again.
But I think a lot of people can relate to that. And we were talking about when we chopped it up in New Orleans that time, and that's what we talked about was, you know, you can have your job and your everyday routine and what you're used to, and you're like, this other position came up, or you know what, I'd be better off at this company or doing this with my life. And that's real. That's what everyone can relate to. And the fact that a player does that with his career, mm-hmm. we shouldn't be shocked by that at all.
I think it's not shocked. It's that everyone just seemed like we all built our ideal basketball player off of Jordan and Magic and Bird. Yeah. You know, so when you say, well, Jordan didn't do it, Bird didn't do it, Magic didn't do it. Oh, yeah, I mean, of course they was in all basketball cities. You know, so obviously them motherfuckers didn't have to leave.
And they had owners and GMs that really were dedicated and passionate about basketball.
And that's what fans don't get, and I think media does a fucking horrible job at pointing it out. So they're basically telling you, if you're a player and you get picked in any city, besides right now, Golden State, LeBron, wherever he goes, wherever he goes, you take those two teams out, how many of them are really trying to win championship? So if you're a player, a young player that gets put in those cities, what ends up happening is they let you do your thing, you build this fame, you become this star, and then eventually they say, yeah, they just can't win. You're just not good enough. You're not making the team better. Like, wait a minute. We just went to the championship, all right? Mm-hmm. We just lost this player. You guys didn't sign this player back. You got rid of James Harden and Brooke and this.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you... Obviously, we're going to go fucking backwards. Like this ain't us. Like, all we can do is what you give us. You give us the tools. We're going to make it happen. But I don't think people understand that. Listen, you guys during lockouts, during all this, you guys are advocating for billionaires. Like, really? Like, you guys are saying, oh, man, look. Like he left for the money. Well, he's the billionaire, motherfucker. Like, yeah. I'm taking pay cuts to make the team better for a billionaire. Like, crazy. This ain't...
That's this, crazy. Like, all for the love.
Yes, like, and that's what people don't realize. We love the game so much that, yeah, we will take a $16, $20 million pay cut to keep my friend here.
Yeah.
But that's what they prey on. Like, yeah, you know, Kevin, you know, to build this team, we'll build 2-3 more championships. You take the pay cut. Yeah, that shit works when we're 24, 25, 26. But eventually we're like, wait a minute, hold on. God damn it. You the billionaire, dude. Like, I'm going to be here a couple more years and you're going to keep doing this to the same motherfucking kids.
This is my life.
Yeah, like, yo, so, no, you pay your taxes. I'm not, what? You take a pay cut from what you make to pay us so we can keep this shit going. And I don't.
I see where you're going. Like, I mean, we all feel that way, and it's just like, that's just one of those things that
we're so used to it.
We're so used to it, and it's like really hard to control because, like, do you really want to play with this player, and go to win? Because it costs a lot for guys now, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, make a decision if you're a player. Like, what do you want? What do you desire? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they just giving us a choice to make.
Yeah, that's the bad part. They're giving us a choice so they can keep making $100 million a year plus.
But the good thing that we have on our side is, like, nowadays we got platforms in order for us to make more money off the floor. So there's a lot of guys who, it's easier to get a shoe deal now. It's easier to get to get endorsements or just your face to be out there now because our game is so visible. So it's like, now you can make more money off the court. Now those decisions could be a little easier if you want them to be. You get what I'm saying?
But it shouldn't be your decision. It shouldn't be.
I mean, that's just how the shit works, though.
That's what I said. If I'm worth fucking $4 billion, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here trying to figure out, okay, I made $100 million last year. Mm-hmm. Shit, if I give Kevin the max, I'm only going to make $40 million.
But the thing
is, I need to get him to, you know, buy into this so I can keep making my $100. Like,
but the thing is, though, like, I get that. But, like, I had to stop complaining because I see MJ. He a baller, too. And he an owner. So it's just like, oh, shit, I can do that. We can do that. People can do that if you really want to. I feel that way. So I'm like, it's somebody that was us at one point that's there. So it's like, can we really complain about it? Might as well see if we can.
And the
get
thing
there.
He did was he put that on your radar now where you can say, like, so it was like, I could either be a coach or a GM as a player. Like, I could own the damn team.
Yeah, look at MJ. I know it's going to be hard as shit to do it. But it's just like for us to think. For us to be sane about all of this shit, it's just like, that's a good way to look at it. Cause, like, if you grind hard as you can and you really do it the right way, you probably can. You can get there too. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for Kobe to say he gonna be an owner.
That's what
I mean,
you know what I mean? It's fucked up how it is, you know, and how that is, and like, that's tough. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, shit, why not try to be an owner one day?
But why is it so important for a player to take control of their future? I don't know if you'll realize that when you're 23, 24, but you hit a point where you're like, you know, this is, I got to put this in my, keep this in my hands. Because again, it's my life.
I mean, because it's your life. I mean, that's the most important thing when you're stepping outside your world growing up and you want to experience life. It's like, I'm in this profession. I might as well just see how I can work this the best. And like you said, coming into the league, you feel like you're not a real person when it comes to, like, this is a job. You know, you look at it differently because you've been doing it your whole life. But when there's money involved, then it's a job. You know what I'm saying? Especially this amount of money. So if you got to start putting your priorities in order and think about the things that you want the most.
Yeah, it's you know, I've never been, you know, to the point where I got, you know, I got hurt at 25. So I didn't get to you know, make decisions. You know, so, but as a player, it's like, I can keep going down this road, and the only thing they're going to attack is my legacy. You know, they're going to attack your legacy. Like, you're saying I'm not a great scorer because I don't have a ring on my finger.
I don't believe that shit.
Yeah, you know, that's me. You know, as a, you know, we don't believe it because we're hoopers.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, it's like the non-hoopers yeah. always try to use that, like, yo, you ain't that great because you don't have a ring. So you sit here and, okay, so if I get a ring, you're going to, I'm validated now? So this averaging 28, 29, 30, 32, that doesn't validate me. This dumbass ring.
Yes.
So now you got to leave, go win rings for people like, see, look at him. He done put his back, he done turned his back on his whole team. Like, what the fuck do you guys want from me now?
It's crazy because it's just a bunch of fans in the media that do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And as a, like, when you're looking at players as a fan, you just look at them as, like, items. So, like, when Gilbert Arenas is walking around, like, I bet they're looking at, all right, I wonder what accolades he has. What's over top of his head? Does he have an MVP? Nah, he ain't nice. He ain't got a ring? Nah, he ain't nice. He ain't got finals MVP? Nah, he ain't nice. Because that's what's been pumped out at all times is what's important in basketball. But if you ask a real guy, like, yo, Gil's averaging 30. He was knocking down shots before he was putting his arms in the air before they went in. Like, nobody was doing that in the league. He's nice. Like, he's stamped. He's forever stamped in this game. There's a lot of guys like that you don't give credit to that probably haven't accomplished, you know, gotten the trophies or the shiny things. But it's like, no, there's some hoopers that been around.
As I say, you know, everyone's not fortunate to win. Everyone, you know, like, you got to think about it. If LeBron wouldn't have left that first time, will he have 3 rings now?
We said this the other day. Probably would have got one.
He would probably have one ring. But, right. You know, as a player, as
if you was on the Spurs, well, how many rings you'd have?
You know?
5.
You know, but that's what I said.
Change like that.
But that's the problem. Is like, how can a legacy, like, I'm doing all I can possibly do. You can't hold me to this.
Yep.
Like, yo.
But you know what it is? Kevin mentioned the fans and the media. We want to rank.
It's the media that pushes the fans. Yeah.
So you're like, T-Mac and Kobe are this close. Well, T-Mac was a hooper, like we said, unstoppable, unguardable. But Kobe has the rings. MVP. Yeah.
I mean, it's more blogs and more, like, personalities now that's in the media. So they are fans. Like, you can pull dudes from out the barbershop or at the rec center that talk just like, mm-hmm. how these media guys talk. So it's just like, you know what that is. You know, it's just, they don't really know what goes into this. But, you know, they just having fun and getting paid for their opinions, which is the easiest job in the world.
If you had to rank yourself right now, year 12, where do you put yourself as top scoring?
That's crazy to rank because it's hard to do that. But I just know who the supreme scorers are. I feel like if you did it for 10 years at an elite rate, then you in that. So guys, like, I wouldn't say 10 years. I would say 6 years of, like, 24, 23 points a game plus. To me, that's
23 points. But I'm just
giving you my how I look at scores in my opinion.
Well, you ain't even average 23 yet. Well, your lowest is 25.
But you see the range I'm putting you in.
I see you trying to add some people in here.
Because I'm appreciating everybody for how they score. You know, there's some different scores out there that I like. So I got, like, just a range. If you've been doing it for, I say 6 to 7 years at that rate where you just at the top of your game and you like, always top 10 scoring, you putting up 25, 23, 24 a night on up, then you'll score. And I feel like you're elite. And I've been doing that 12. Plus a little bit more for 11, 12 years. So
that's what I'm looking at. You know, I look at the stats and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Tell me what
you know, from the beginning, you know, you're talking about what, 20, 25, 30.
25 in your second season.
Yeah, then you're 30. I mean, and then from there, it's just boom, 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 boom. So it's like, Jesus Christ. When it's all said and done, I mean, your argument for one of the best scorers. Like, I don't care about the like where you fall at in the chart of a motherfucker who played 38 years and 22 years. Yeah, you know, it's like, man, this motherfucker was really like, this is like, you know, like when people say, well, Iverson, I say, man, the motherfucker had 10 years of some incredible shit. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just, like, and it's hard. Like, people don't understand. That's hard.
Yeah.
Nostalgia always wins when it comes to that stuff, when you're talking about the past, the legends, you know, that feeling that they gave you at that moment is always going to win in the now. So, you know, I'll just look at it when I'm done. I'm sure people will talk about it. We'll talk about this whole thing a little bit better, and you guys get a little bit more credit when they're done, you know what I'm saying? But as of right now, if you ask me who the best scorer, of course, I'm going to be like, yo, when Kobe scored 80, when he had that run, that shit was way better than anything I ever did, you know what I'm saying? Because it was just so fun for me at that time. But, you know, I feel like I've put in a lot of work over the years that, like, when I'm done hooping and you talking about guys that scored a basketball, like, any conversation in the world, I think 80% of it is going to have, like, yo, KD, though, he can score a little bit. Yeah. That's cool with me. If you're doing that, that's straight with me. I feel like I did my job as a hooper.
Like right now, I mean, right now, we can say you're probably the best scorer in NBA.
When it comes to natural scoring,
I mean, you can't like...
Also
like,
matchup too.
Like when you just say natural scoring, just bucket for bucket, position for position, you are the best scorer in NBA. Period. I mean, that's... You've been doing that. I mean, that's...
I mean, you could say that. I don't know.
You got to remember.
I just never can really say that because so many dudes can get buckets. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate all of that shit. But, like, and I know I can get buckets too, but it's just like, man, any given night, anybody can. There's a few dudes I feel like can go get 60, 70 points, and I'm just like.
Yeah, any given night. But that's how I look at it, but I guess that keeps me on the ground. But if a motherfucker just, if we took away Steph and Clay right now, you average 45, right?
I don't even want to.
I know you don't want to, but that's not even fun for me.
Like, you know, I want to play the game now. I'd rather get 45 in the flow.
Yeah, because you're at that point in your career, though.
Exactly.
I know, that's...
Exactly.
And that's
but, why yeah, I mean, I can put up numbers for sure.
I remember I said it. It was you guys. It was... It was the 2015. It was the 2015 Warriors, right?
Yeah.
And they're playing against LeBron, and Kyrie went down. And that's when I went on Instagram and said... This would be the first time and probably the only time you guys ever see LeBron at full capacity. I said, because he has to.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have to actually do everything he possibly can. I said, since he's came in the league, rings has been on his belt. So he's been trying to build teams. He's never had a team where he just got to do whatever he wanted and he's just going to dominate for a season Kobe did.
I feel like he always had teams where he could do whatever he wanted, but I think that was the first time he had to really get shots up because they just had to get him up in his possession. You know what I'm saying? And who was going to shoot him?
You know what I'm saying?
So he like, I just got to get a shot.
They were literally
possession.
Shorthanded.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See what he did. And I was like, that'll be the last time you see that shit.
That was the first time I ever seen him shoot like 30 shots a game. I'm like, yo, he getting them up. He got to though. He has to, and that was the first time I really seen that.
Because the early version of him in Cleveland, he didn't have the talent around him like he did later. But he knew I gotta what he did and go to Miami and put other pieces.
We played in
talent for what though? To win a chip or just to grow as a player?
Where it wasn't all on him.
So what he didn't have names like you think. What he had was people who were good at certain things, like
especially,
you know,
yeah.
Drew Gooden, like Drew Gooden, like LeBron killed us. He averaged 36, but Drew Gooden killed us on rebounds, and you know, Gauss we couldn't stop. Like you had these players, like okay, when we thought we had him controlled, someone else hit 20. Like okay, we wasn't expecting Eric Snow to have 18 tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like he had the right players around him to. For us not to just focus on him,
yeah,
you know, and that's been his thing that he keeps players, but I think that's been his downfall too. That the players he have, when it's all said and done, these motherfuckers are still not great players.
Yeah.
But he makes them look better than they are.
But the good thing about that series was in 2006 when they beat y'all, right?
Yep.
I watched that whole series. I was coming to those games, and it was just like you said, he had those guys that knew exactly what they wanted to do. They knew their roles, and I felt like y'all had a lot of undisciplined players. So those times y'all gave up a three to end the game, end the series. And like no championship team does that. Y'all had so much talent.
That was me too.
And I'm like, yo, come on, yo, how you give up Damon Jones? Like, why the fuck Damon Jones get to celebrate on y'all court? Bron's supposed to be doing that. If anything, give it up to him because you know he gonna toss that thing to somebody for the open.
And you know the sad part is, it was like, okay, Damon Jones got in. He ain't played since game four.
Yeah, gave up.
Ain't nobody, he ain't played this game. He came in. LeBron ain't passing it to this motherfucker right here, so I'm just going to lean off of him. Yeah, and.
But you, y'all wasn't locked into the point where y'all got to know that him and Bron is so tight. They walk into games together.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? So I'm like, if he in the game, you know Bron looking
well,
for
him. Well, you know
what's
so funny is like when you're in the middle of that game and you – it's like Iggy coming in and hitting the three, right? Yeah. He just got in. It's like they're not going to pass it to him.
No, Damian Jones, all he was
a shooter. But he just got – he ain't playing two games, though.
He looking for the corner three.
I know, he looking for the corner. No, but I'm just saying –
you know you can't leave him in that corner for that trace.
And you're not supposed to come off the corner. And you're not supposed to come off the – I did it. I just fucked it all up.
I'm telling you, y'all were locked in.
That motherfucker hit a game-winning – you know, LeBron hit a game-winning layup and a game-winning Cleveland. He ain't doing it again.
Yeah, exactly. I would have thought the same thing. Nah, you ain't hitting this one, no sir.
That motherfucker hit that corner. Nice. I was hot. Oh man, oh, I was so hot. Especially after I missed a free throw. Like, you know, I missed the free throws already, so I'm already fucked up. I'm already mentally fucked up. Like, still thinking about the free throws. Like, damn, motherfucker, missed the free throws. And
well, do you think that series, that team, those Cleveland teams, y'all, I thought that was a nice DC rivalry. What you think? Because y'all played them a couple times in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. See, I was only healthy for that one.
Oh, you didn't play that.
The second year I was hurt, and then the third year I didn't even play. So that was my only real series against Cleveland.
Well, it just felt like.
But we played them so often, it
felt like it was a little.
But the other two times we were under man. We had more talent. They just played us. They were just smarter.
Yeah, you, Karan.
Like, yeah, and at that time, that Wizards team was the best team that Cleveland faced until they put the Celtics together. Really, that could have been a great rivalry.
What I'm saying is I used to study. Sitting here studying, like I'm watching. Like, when I'm on the bench, I'm sitting there watching him, all right? So whenever he wants to get going, he looks at coach. They take Ogauskas out, and then we take Brendan out, and then him and Larry hit the hole. So, hey, look, coach, listen. Listen, when they take Ogauskas out, don't take out Brendan, because when you take out Brendan, our big man coming in is 6'8", 6'9".
Who's a big one?
It was either Eton or Michael Ruffin coming in.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they going right at the rim on them dudes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what was happening. It was coming right at the rim, and Eddie was like, I mean, we need Brendan to match up with Ogauskas, so we have to rest Brendan when Ogauskas rests. I'm like, that's their game plan. Take Ogauskas out, so you take Brendan. These two motherfuckers hit the lane on us.
Man, that's when the coach is having a battle right there. That's when the players are just playing. And the coach has got to make the right
yeah,
moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially in the playoffs.
All right, we got to take a quick break to talk about our friends at Stitch Fix. Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service. Gil loves it. They find, deliver clothes, shoes, and accessories that fit your body, budget, and lifestyle. So go to stitchfix.com/nochill.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them your size, the styles you like, and how much you want to spend. They pair you with your own personal stylist. Makes you look good. You handpick 5 items, and they send them right to the door. Then you try them on, pay for only what you love, and return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. No subscription required. Sign up and receive scheduled shipments. Get your fix whenever you want it. So stitchfix.com, enter it now, and you get a 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. And now for listeners of the No Chill podcast, stitchfix.com/nochill, special for our listeners. It's a $20 fee, which is applied towards anything you keep. You can return the rest. So one more time, stitchfix.com/nochill.
Okay, so I was watching last year against Houston. And before you got here, before you got to Golden State, I think a problem built in that led to that series. That Golden State was blowing everyone out so bad. You know, Steph didn't play in half the fourth quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Should have more than half of all the fourth quarters, and sometimes only 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is, even though Steph was the best player, they were never in situations for him to hit really big shots. He hit the one against you guys in OKC where he shot the damn near shit from half court.
Yeah.
He hit 3 game winners in his whole career. So when you came and you're the go-to guy, and you're a fourth quarter finisher, and I'm sitting here looking at the playoff and say, they're just not used to it. They've been blowing people out so bad that they're not used to the last 1 minute and who to give the ball to because they've never actually been in that situation. And as long as Houston keeps the game close, because James Harden, you know who's taking the last shot. Mm-hmm. In the Golden State, it was like, wait, do they know who they're supposed to get the ball to? Like, is it?
In the Houston series, I disagree because that first year, we might not have had, like, every game might not have been a close game, but we had, in the playoffs especially, we had, well, in the regular season, it was at least 2 games a week in the regular season when we was playing to the end of the games. We struggled in the regular season with, like, who to get a ball to, what plays to run. Cleveland game, we lost at the end on the last second play. Memphis game, I shot a deep three for the clock at 20 seconds on the clock and we needed to run the play. And like we was figuring stuff out throughout the year and the playoffs, game threes, we would struggle, game twos, you know, it'd be tight games mm-hmm. and we was figuring out how to play late in games. And I think we found that rhythm, especially in round two last year against New Orleans, you know, we figured out how to play in the fourth quarters, you know, so I knew we were figuring out different ways to be effective, but in our Houston series, they just took us out of all of our offense. So it was like, all right, how are we going to get our shots up? You know, mm-hmm. they were taking us off the three-point line. They were switching everything. But every action that we were trying to do, the quick hits, the misdirections, all that stuff that we like to do to mm-hmm. get us going, they were switching it. So we just had to, you know, try to screen to get the matchup we wanted to go to work most of the possession. So it was just like, that's what bogged us down a bit. So you got to give credit to Houston defense more so than us just not knowing what to do. You know,
I'm not giving credit. They played great defense. They fucking lazy as fuck.
And that's serious. They made us think, and they played great defense on us.
You just couldn't hit shots.
It was tough to get look and tough to get easy against, get free against them. And, you know, our offense is based off of movement. If we catch a shot.
See, that is what I said. It's like one of those things. Like, that's what I said. I'm watching and I'm saying, well, this might be one of those games where you don't run offense. Mm-hmm. You know, you just say, all right, look, we're just gonna go to our advantage. Fuck them. Yeah. Until they're going to pick, you know, we're just going to milk it and just mm-hmm. say, all right, you guys can't stick KD. Go out there and score 60 until you guys figure this shit out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
you don't want a heavy dose of that, though. And I think we were trying to figure out the balance.
But,
you know, are we going to keep running our plays that they're taking us out of? We can keep figuring out different actions to make those work. Or we can go ISO, and I think we were just trying to figure out the balance of that. I think that's when that was new for us. And Houston, like I said, they did a good job of making us think about that, but we figured it out at certain points.
That's what I said. Is it hard? I mean, I know it's not as hard as, you know, we make it sound, but when it's so easy, like I remember what we were watching. Was it the championship?
That series, yeah.
Not their series.
Yeah, them versus
when that. When I seen it was like the end of the game, and then we knew the ball was going to Steph, and then Klay runs up. He there's no spacing, mm-hmm. and I was like, they're just not used to it. They're so used to movement that they don't know how to say, all right, boom, everybody get the fuck out of here. You know, let me go ahead and do my thing. You know what I mean? Because they're so playing in the offense that when it came down to specialty plays and specialty people that I don't think they've been accustomed to yet. I mean, this year, I don't give a fuck what defense is out there. I'm just going to be honest. Like, you know, when I seen, you know, the first play between you and Cousins come down and he dunked, I was said, you know what? You know what? This shit ain't even fucking fair.
And 5 minutes later, he's behind the 3-point line.
I said, it ain't even fair. Like, it ain't even fair. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if y'all lose 10 games in the next 20. The shit ain't even fair. There's no team right now built to beat you guys. Period. I don't give a fuck what happens. I don't even know what the East Coast is about. Like, they should even just go on here with these. Like, you're talking about what? Boston?
Philly.
Boston done. I don't even know why I keep saying Boston. Philly.
You're tripping.
Philly or Toronto. It's your only two matchups, and both teams' star power ain't there.
But, Kevin, you don't look at it like that.
No.
Like, we can just coast on here.
That's exactly what a fan would look at it.
You know I'm looking. That's called reality.
From the surface level, that stuff sounds, you know, perfect. And certain things might be true, but we still have to play those games.
You do.
And we still have to make those shots and play defense, especially in the playoffs, so like we can be beat if we fuck around. That's how I look at it.
I mean,
unless, it's easy for things to seep in and kind of fuck shit up. You know what I'm saying? No matter what it is, from an injury, from a shooting slump, from a altercation, from a anything can come and creep in when you're on this road trying to, especially when three in a row, that can like easily turn. So it was like, man, yeah, if we do the right things, we have a great chance. But like, okay, that's not a for sure. So let's just lock in every day and see what happens.
It's not for sure what?
It's not a for sure that everything's going to go perfect for us.
No, it ain't. I mean,
that's how I look at this shit.
You ain't going to be perfect, of course, but you don't need to be perfect going against the East.
Unless, we got to be locked in the playoffs. Like, you know that shit.
And I know, but unless a team, like, if I'm playing against you guys, unless a team, like, when it comes to talent, I don't think Toronto is playoff. I don't think they're strong enough as a unit. The only group that has talent will be Philadelphia when it comes to talent. Mm. That, you know, you can have Jimmy Butler, like you got Embiid, you got players. Like, they're probably the only threat that I can see. But that coaching staff is going to say, hey, listen, fuck the game plan, go out there and play. We're not going to run none of the plays they're used to because they're going to fuck us up. Like, I remember, like, you know, it's one of those things that either you're crazy and you won this series or you're crazy, you get the fuck out of here. Because I remember we was going against San Antonio. Only time I beat San Antonio. Coach said.
Only time.
Coach was like.
They tough to beat, especially back then.
Coach was like, listen.
On the road?
It was nothing on the board. It was just matchups. There was no fucking game plan.
On the road?
Now we was at home. Like, Eddie was like, listen. If we play hard, if we play smart, we can beat them. But if they play hard and smart too, we have no chance.
He did not say
that. Yeah. So look, we just gonna go out there and we ain't even gonna run no plays today. Y'all go out there and just play free. See what happens. He said, we done ran every game playing against them, we lost. We ain't gonna run nothing. They just go and play.
Pop had Eddie Jordan.
And we said, hey, we in there sitting there like,
You know, them boys don't want to play street ball over there in San Antonio.
That's what I'm saying. I know. I hit 41 on them, but it was like.
He was going to work.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was your reaction when he said that when you're sitting there?
Come on, you already know, like, one full flat. Yeah. The whole game, fuck what they talking about.
Green light.
But do you think y'all have made it farther in the playoffs with y'all doing that? I think so. I think y'all have won more games if y'all have just been like, yo, you, Karan, go get a basket for us.
But you got to remember, at some point, like, when you're playing against talent, you gotta remember, a talented group, go have you, they're gonna know all your plays. They're gonna have you depicted. So the only thing you can do is just go out there and say, fuck it, just go out there and just ball. Just play with them.
Yeah, and always come back to street.
And just go out there and play with them. So you can't be a coach in the playoffs for a series and say, all right, listen, just go out there and play. Ain't no fucking game plan. Yeah. Like, you get your ass fired.
But it wouldn't be game one, right? Because you're seeing on a matchup, you're seeing over.
Listen, you're talking about three guys who can put up 60. Like, you can't be conventional against them. Like, let's be real. You can't say, I'm going to shut him down, and then these two burn you. And then what are you going to do game two? I'm going to focus on them two. Then he burns you. Like, you just got to say, all right, listen, guys, listen. These motherfuckers is talented. Either y'all going to play hard or you're gonna get fucked up. Just go.
But our team, we don't got a bunch of guys that like just gonna break you down to dribble easily like that. I think our system works for everybody. And sometimes when you do a good job of guarding our initial plays, you know, we just improvise after that. And I think that's what makes us unique and different. Like, if once you stop a play, Clay's not gonna stop moving. Once you cut Steph off on the pick and roll, he's not gonna stop moving. So it's not like we coming down and just like, yo, y'all clear out, you clear out, you just kill him, destroy him, you're just bigger and better than him. No, we just like, we actually cerebral out there. We keep moving, we keep finding back picks with 6 seconds left in the shot clock.
Yeah.
You knock it down, you walking back down court like, God, we just played, again, what's that, 18 seconds of good defense, and it's just like, he hit a three, After that, like, come on, man. Like, and you come back down, and you, and like, you was up 15, and now you up 6 points going into the to the halftime. You like, we trying to kill morale. We not trying to like overpower you physically. We trying to kill your morale. We
break
trying
your
to
spirit.
Quiet the crowd. We trying to like amp our crowd up, and we trying to feed into the guys on the bench. So when they come into the game, they gonna continue to have that system working for us. You know, that's what those threes, and that's how we play. You know what I'm saying? It's deeper than basketball with us.
Yeah. But speaking to strength, the rumor that's always been. They said when you came in your rookie season, you couldn't lift the bar.
Come on, man.
Like the 130, was it the 130? What was that, 180?
Whoa, it was 185.
They said you couldn't get it up there.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I thought you said the bar.
The 185. Pounds. You know what's so funny is you changed the way they drafted.
What you mean by that?
Okay, listen. Everything was built on strength before you came in. Motherfuckers had to be strong and strong this and strong that. Yeah. And you came in and you couldn't lift. So that was like the little joke between like, oh yeah, that motherfucker weak, blah, blah. Yeah. And then 20, 25, 30, everybody's like, oh, she didn't even be strong no more. And then that's when it actually shifted and they stopped really paying attention. Like motherfuckers like, yo, how many times you lift? Yeah, I lift the motherfucker 12 times. Yeah, like, oh shit, yeah. That nigga good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and then that's what I said. Yeah. Like you really shifted the way, Combine.
Yeah, I just really couldn't lift that shit.
Like, people ask me, I said, it's like, yo, like, I need to lift. I said, listen, basketball is skill.
Yeah, you just need leverage.
Nobody trying to sit there and play motherfucking 1988 basketball no more. That shit's done.
Yeah, you just need leverage out there.
Yeah. That's it. Taking advantage.
Yep. What are teams doing different since you've been there in Golden State? It's what, third season?
Yeah. On defense?
Mm-hmm.
You see just a lot more gimmicks where they're selling out their whole defense to stop the three-pointer or trapping a pick-and-roll out deep or, like, sometimes I catch in the post. Sometimes they come to double. Sometimes Steph come off a three-pointer. The big is denying out hard, giving up the pass to our bigs. It's just like, you know, you just don't know coming in the game sometimes.
Yeah.
And it throws you off a little bit, but once in the playoffs, you know, you can easily pick that stuff apart.
That's what I said. It's like with me and Antoine. I know if I did a pick and roll with Antoine, they couldn't hard show as hard because he was popping back at the three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't trap me because he's popping back at the three. Mm-hmm. You know, it's they didn't switch when I played. It wasn't switching.
Yeah, that's the thing. See, like, that forced you to get into your one-on-one game once they start switching. So that didn't unlock a part of your game where you had to constantly do that every night. Now dudes are switching every game, all game. So imagine you playing against that. How many points would you have?
That's what I said. I can tell you right now. If
all game, you know when
I'm doing a pick and roll and a big man switch, nobody getting the ball.
Yeah,
like, ain't no
why.
Yeah, I ain't passing y'all the ball. I got the matchup now. You know, Antoine in the post. I used to tell Eddie, like, when we do a pick and roll and they do switch, why am I passing to the big man? And it was like, so we can. I said, because if I pass it to him, they're gonna double. They're gonna swing it out, and then we're gonna swing it, and that's you want the corner shot?
Late in the clock like that?
I said, I already got the advantage. If I take this big nigga off the dribble and get to the paint, who gonna block me? My guard?
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here. Yep. He ain't passing the ball, ain't he?
Simple ball. So now when y'all was playing, like when I first came into the league too, it was like straight pick and roll. So now when you're in the pick and roll as a guard, like back then they was in the drop most of the time. Mm-hmm. So you always like, I can shoot every time. But should I, like, you know what I'm saying? So when you got the advantage on the switch, you like, oh, now I know I can shoot because that's what they want me to do. They switch. My coach is like, yeah, you got a mismatch now, go to work. But when you in that pick and roll just playing, like just looking, you're like, shit. I can get 20 shots.
I can get 20 shot like, ease sitting in that now, drop.
Let me show my man some love. You know what I'm saying? It's different.
Also, the way they're drafted, they're trying to get players that can switch and guard multiple positions, too. That's probably the biggest difference.
Is the game. I mean, you know what's so funny is, like, I always read posts about, because you came in, like, during both shifts, like, you're in, you know, which game is easier? When you first came in or this style?
Man, it's It's both of them were hard because back then you got two guys just sitting in the paint, two bigs just sitting in the paint. So, like, you really had to think the game. That free-flowing pickup ball wasn't really going on back then because the best team in the league was the Lakers coming up, and they had Gasol and Bynum. Team was adjusting to that, you know what I'm saying, especially on the Western Conference. So every night you're going against two bigs. It was rare you had a small four. So, like, guys sitting in the lane, like, you got to work on your mid-range. So imagine dudes with no mid-range, and they force you to the big. Like, you're not making layups. Step-back threes is going to be tough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, damn, you got to knock down the mid-range. So that's how I learned how to play in that spot. But now it's just like, man, as you get older, they take you out of all your sets, and you got to initiate from so far out sometimes. You got to play against so much. I got to play against these small physical dudes where it's tough to get up, get low as I can. It's just like both of them are equally tough in my opinion. But you can see the value of just like a pure all-around basketball player back then, just like playing a pick and roll, playing a post, mid-range, shooting threes. Like, I feel like more players were playing that style.
More round.
That's more my taste. Back then, how guys were playing, instead of, opposed to like how it's going now.
Yeah. Someone said, it was immediate. Like, yo, I'm not a fan of James Harden anymore because I don't like the way he's playing. Mm-hmm. And at first, I was like, I can see how someone would get bored of just watching the same boom, boom, boom. But at the end of the day, if you can't stop him, why should he change?
Man, he's doing what's required for him at this time. Yeah, like, if you tell him to switch his game up, he could. But he's doing what he has to do.
Like, if you can't stop that, but like, why am I gonna just automatically stop doing? If I can go left and step back and bust your ass, or go right, step back, and you can't stop it, why am I just gonna change it for you? And
especially if we're gonna get a W off of it, I'm sticking with the same formula.
Someone was like, because it's like, well, why the refs ain't calling? Because it's like, yo, what he does is a travel. I said, it's sometimes he's traveling, sometimes he's not. If I'm a ref, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not gonna sit here and call 20 travels on a dude. Yeah. Like, I'm not bailing you out as a defender.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to bail you out like, travel. No, play some fucking defense, bro.
If I'm a ref, I be trying to look at it in ref's perspective a lot. Like, if I'm a ref and I got a guy that's stepping back away from the rim, those little ones may be a travel, but, like, I could see if he was going towards the rim, he was traveling, it's going to be an easier shot. He's stepping back into a tougher shot. So I'm like, you just let the game play that out, see what happens after that. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what people don't understand, that, like a referee is also, like, a student of the game. Yeah. It's like, yo, I'm not going to sit here and just keep blowing him. Play defense.
Yeah.
You know, if he does something that has him at a total advantage, but I don't think an advantage is him step back fading away. Yeah. That he doesn't have an advantage over you.
And it's not like, it's like you say, it's like he tiptoes a little bit on the, if it's a travel, if it's a step back. So some of them joints, you got to look at the video three or four times to see if it's a travel. And so in the ref, it's happening so fast. It's hard for them to see that.
What's he doing different this season from what you watched?
Nothing. I think he's just had more opportunities. He's got more opportunities to do his thing, and he's at the peak of his powers, his confidence on another level, I feel. He stepped into, me and my guys were talking last night, like, you know when guys step into superstardom.
Yeah.
He stepped into, like, where he's like when you had drop your first album and you make platinum, like, he's out of here. This is like his third album, but he's out of here to the point, like, yeah, he is a star, and he's doing it easy too.
Yeah, and that's so sad, because if he was in a bigger market, he would already been a star. And Houston is a big market.
Yeah, Houston's a big market.
I think Houston's a big market.
But when you look at
he's always been a star. But when I've seen him on ESPN, like, even after a loss, when you're on ESPN, like, you got 10, 11, like, flash clips of what you did the last week or two for a long stretch of time is what they're doing with James. You're a star to me, and it don't matter what market you're in. It's just like, whoever's going to pick you up is going to take you to that level.
But why is, like, when you look at, like, fan, like, you know, you look at fan voting, it's like, how come he's not translating to fans like that? Like, I don't think they understand. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
but they know him, though.
They know him, but it's like, if you look at him, like, he wouldn't be a starter right now.
What is that then?
Yeah, and Tuukka, he's from LA.
When they start hating,
you know, big market. He's in, so he's got two big fan bases right there.
I think he doesn't have enough hate. I think that's what it is. For you to be great in this league, you got to have a group that hates you too.
But the haters wouldn't vote for you.
A lot of people hate James
Harden. Not really.
Haters game.
Not
I
really.
I wouldn't say the person, but haters like, game.
Okay, if you had to take your all-star numbers and take it off that and then say, all right, these motherfuckers hate me out here right now. Am I going to be starting an all-star for fan voting? You would have probably be like, ah, shit, they do really hate a nigga. But that's when, you know, you'd be like, damn, they do really hate it. But that's when you know you've at.
Niggas be still having 2 million votes. I can't say that's hate.
For what he's doing. Like, I mean, for what he's doing, like, come on, like, for what he's doing. Luca has more votes than him.
That's
like,
his popularity.
I know, but I'm just saying
for hate. 2 million people.
But for a dude who's really, like, you're tearing the leagues a new ass. Like, you are right now carrying that title as a top scorer.
Like, yes, but you know, nowadays, you that stuff has to be dissected to the point where it's like, all right, we know he can score. He's done it for a few years now. Let's see, like, how he's really scoring. All right, let's nitpick.
Yeah, see, that thing's, that's what I said.
Like, can he be like? Why is he scoring like this? Why are they fouling him so much? Why is he getting to the free throw line so much? Why he got to shoot step backs? Why he got to celebrate? Like, you nitpicking now. Just shut up and just watch what he's doing. I think
I think when a motherfucker becomes, like, when they start hating you, like, that's what I said. He's going into, because when you start nitpicking at him,
that's why you're out of here.
Yeah,
when
that's,
you start
yeah.
nitpicking you, that's why I know you into a superstardom, because it's like, all right, they intro to you now. It's like, all right, how can I dissect this person? Like, yeah, they actually thinking about you more than they would before.
Like, last year, I mean, you know, when Chris Paul's there, you know, it kind of takes away. That's what I said. People don't say, when you have talent, you have to suppress your talent sometimes. Like, there'd be a time where you like, damn, I can shoot this motherfucker every time I come off this pick and roll. But, you know, I see, you know, Clay got the ball a couple times. Let me go ahead and just swing it. And I'm just going ahead and swing it. But I tell the dude, like, yo, like,
You lose those battles sometimes, though.
Yeah, I was going to bust your ass tonight, but you lucky Clay going off.
You lose those little battles because it's like, hey, I could have killed you for real. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, damn, you go home. It's like, fuck, I should have had 30
minutes. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you talked about, you get to a point in your career where you realize it's, you know, like you got to give things up for a team for the sake of winning.
Yeah, I mean, how I look at it is I made so much money. I played the game up for, like, just... Before I played it because I loved it, but I played it for like everything that came with it as well. But I'm like, nah, I did everything I really wanted to do in my personal life. Like, let me just actually dive into this game now, like into real, like something I got to figure out, almost like Battleship or chess, or like I got to just figure this out different ways. So like, when you dive straight into the game, you're just like, man, this shit. You see all the small nuances in it, and it's cool to figure that out at that age. And I think you only learn that through experience. Mm-hmm.
What changed the most for you after you won the first championship?
That I just realized my formula worked for how I work on my game.
Was that the greatest feeling though? Like all the hate that came up and
man, it's more so I'm looking at it like when I first picked up a ball and then just like all the shit that I went through as a ball player to get to that point where you're the last man standing, last team standing. Everybody's watching your game that day. You know what I'm saying? As a kid, you start off in a rec center. You got 5-6 people watching you every Saturday. Now, like, everybody in the country and a lot of people around the world are watching you play, and you played your best. Like, how would any person in the world feel on that stage? You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, man, this is exactly where I want to be in my life at this point. It just made me happy.
And I don't think people understand that, too. It's like, when you have a dream, and you get a chance to, like, oh, I can really make my dream come true. Yeah. I think people like the ideal of a dream, but then when they say, all right, listen, if I go down the same path, I won't hit my dream. Or I don't know when my dream might hit. Mm-hmm. But if I can just alter a little bit and jump and go here, I can do it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, oh, no, I don't like that. Because I remember I already knew what I was going to do if I won a championship. Like, I already fucking knew. Like, I already had it planned. Like, as soon as I win a championship, I'm going to throw my jersey on the floor. I'm going to run out of the arena.
I swear.
And them niggas ain't going to see me no more.
Ever.
Like,
we all
like,
think about that.
Like, I'm not going to do an interview. I ain't going to be on stage. I'm going to run. Motherfuckers will be calling. Like, where you? That's just going to be the mystery of what happened tonight. Yeah. Like, I had that. That was a dream.
Yeah.
But that was a dream. Like, I ain't want to be on stage. I want to be I dropped my shit and bounced. Nigga got in my car and gone.
Yeah. Everybody think about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, especially, yeah, for sure.
That's like, crazy. You see it, man. Disneyland. I'm going to Disney World. Like, people don't understand, man. Like, when a person has a dream, like, the point of a dream is getting there by any means. Like, I'm trying to get to that dream. Because I remember when I made it to the NBA and Mullen was like, all right, your dream was to make it here, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, you made it. Now what? Mm. You know what I mean? Now, what's your new dream? Because you made it here. What's your new dream?
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, shit, hold on. Let me think about it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And let me think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
Yeah.
The game is fun, man. People just don't understand. They look at your personalities on the court, and they feel we're not human.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they feel we're not human, like... You know, it's like, oh, did you see this person? He told this fan to shut up. Well, I can't tell a motherfucker to shut up. Like,
what are you talking about?
I can't tell him to shut up. Like, why can't I tell him to shut up?
The requirement of a fan is you get to come to an arena and you can act like a total kid for a couple hours. So, all right, I'm gonna treat you like one.
That's what I said. I used to, like, go at fans. Oh, it was like, I used to talk, because... They're there to be entertained.
Yeah, we're in the arena.
Like, I'm in the arena. Like, I'm expecting the opposite fans to say whatever the fuck they want. I'm going to bust their teammates' ass, and I'm going to talk shit back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was this mutual mm-hmm. respect between fans and players. But I hate when people are like, oh, did you see him? He flicked them off. Yeah, he flicked me off too. Like, what are you talking about? I gave him the same thing he gave me back. Yeah. We cool.
We good.
He ain't arguing. The motherfucker ain't arguing.
Nothing's gonna happen when we leave here.
Yeah, you're not a maniac. You're not just going at people because you want to. You're provoked.
I come to work and focus on my job. If somebody want to chime in and get in the way of what I'm doing, if I got time at that moment, I'm definitely gonna say something. If I don't, I'm just gonna chalk it up.
That's what I said. I'm glad Instagram and Twitter wasn't there when I played.
Oh, gosh. Y'all boy.
Or just having a phone in your face. That's the thing now. Everyone has their phones out at all times.
You can avoid that a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Everything, somebody else having their phone, just watching you from a
phone. Yeah, that's the thing I just don't understand. It's like, you can't even be you no more.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem. Because you can be you, but there comes more scrutiny now. Like... You know, in off season, I want to chill and hang out. Me being normal offends everyone else who's being normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like my normals somehow offend you because I'm supposed to be like doing something totally different.
Yeah. Why is Gilbert Arenas talking like one of us?
Yeah. I'm offended now.
Why? Like, should not be doing that. He's made millions of dollars.
Yeah, he told
Stop
me to
talking sh- like yeah, that. Stop having real world problems.
He told me to fuck off. I'm on Instagram mode. I'm not the basketball player. I'm Instagram doing the same thing you're doing.
Truth.
Talking shit. Like, don't get mad about my opinion with a motherfucking another opinion. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
you have a sickness if you do that shit. Like,
the fuck is this crazy? That's why I just stopped giving a fuck. Like, I'm going, if I see something I don't like or something funny, I'm going to do what I do, and then you're just going to be mad because I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to double down.
I don't really see the problem with people just being who they are. Like, fuck it.
It's hard. Like LeBron, I like LeBron now because it's like, now he's finally, like, I think he's unguarded. He's at a point now where he's like, you know what, I've done so much. What I say should be valued now.
Mm.
You know, before, you know, I was, you know, protecting the image, trying to figure out, you know, should I tap into this subject? You know, shouldn't I? And then now it's just like, you know, if he has a problem with something, he needs his voice to be heard. He'll say it, and I'm like, okay, I like that. Like, you know, it's cool.
But it's hard to get to that point where you're protecting yourself, protecting your image. You don't want to say the wrong thing. You want to offend people. But then you get to a point where, like, guess what? I'm going to be who I am and find that comfort level.
For sure. I mean, people respect success. And I feel like LeBron always had the power. I feel like he always had a loud voice. But when you're so locked in on your work and trying to accomplish your dreams and goals, like certain stuff is like, I don't even want to focus on that right now.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? But when you're in your 16th year, you're 34, and you probably, it probably hit him last year. He's the oldest dude in the all-star locker room. I'm like, yeah, you're OG. I remember it was 37, 38 was the oldest. You're 33, you're the oldest guy in here. So, like, you could just tell that his experiences have shown him a lot, and he's really willing to give it back to his teammates and to other people who want to, you know, eventually get into this life, not just as a baller. You know what I'm saying? He's opening up a lot of doors, opening up a lot of people's minds to, like, what an NBA player should be like. And, you know, you just see – that just happens through just going through so much in this league. He's been a star since he was 9 years old.
When did that change for you?
I mean, I would say once I first got into the league, I was, you know, that like, all right, now you're a star. Like, you got shoe deals, you getting ESPN covers, you're doing commercials with the Hibachi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody was reading the paper. You was waking up in the morning, going to school at 6 a.m., reading about Gil. And then a year later, like, you're doing an EA Sports commercial with him. Like, that shit hit you fast. And so I'm like, all right, that's just, I guess, just who I am. Like, I don't see my other guys coming to the league with shit like this. So, like, I guess I'm a star. You know what I'm saying? So you start to think about, and sometimes you overthink about, like, how can I keep this up?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And for me, it's just like when I got injured, everything kind of slowed down for me. And I spent like 4 months I couldn't even get up and go to the gym and shoot. Or I couldn't even get up and walk to the bathroom and brush my teeth without some help. You know what I'm saying? Because my foot was broke and I couldn't. So it was just like the little shit I started to realize and things started to open up for me. And what's important to me was just getting up every morning and working out before practice and going through practice and working out afterwards and getting a sweat. That shit made me happy coming home. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, damn, like, I had a good day just doing this. You know
what
I'm saying? Like,
shit.
So I'm like, I don't really want to be a star no more. Like, I don't want to do that no more because it's just like, it's not, I can't even be me. So that's why lately I've just been like, yo, this is who I am. Just accept me for who I am, because, like, if I didn't play ball, y'all wouldn't know me. So, like, why does it matter, like, what I'm thinking to y'all? Like, who are y'all? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just hooping, so just look at me for that. So I guess it's different for everybody, but for me, that was my switch.
We love to see it. We know you got to run, got a plane to catch.
Yeah, that's the, like, for a long time. Like, I remember this jersey like it was.
But there we go. Throwback Gil and KD.
Yeah, I remember that day.
Now close your eyes and repeat after me. I am the shoot button.
I am the shoot button.
I will take it to the hoop every time.
I will take it to the hoop every time.
No man will stop me.
No man will stop me.
Except for Gilbert Arenas.
What?
Don't break concentration, Kevin.
Because that's what I was like, God damn that motherfucker can shoot.
I was wearing Adidas on that shoot. Yeah. I was in between, like, should I wear Nike Adidas? And I went out for a dunk, and I was like, my toe got stubbed. He's fucking Adidas. He was like, yo, chill. He was like, yo, they got the mics on.
They got the mics on, yeah.
I'm like, what you mean? I'm like, he was like, yeah, I know what you're going through. Chill.
Yeah, I was like, just chill out.
That's the OG advice.
They got the mics on. You want them to use that against you if you're negotiating.
Yeah.
Now he's got the deal.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, thanks for coming through.
No doubt.